So hello and welcome, and thanks for coming by to see the latest episode of the Advanced Business Show. In this episode, we will be talking about mentorship and entrepreneurship, and how actually being mentored will help you get the work done and get the tasks to the desired targets. Today, I have my guest, Joel Ingram, which is a personal favorite of mine. He was my coach in the London Real Accelerator, and he's with us today to talk with us about the mentorship and how it can help us if you are an entrepreneur and starting your business. So, Joel, I would like first, thank you for coming to this show.
Thank you for inviting me, man.
All right. So, Joel, can you please just tell us a little bit about yourself, your background, what you're doing now, and so on?
Yeah, certainly. Okay, so going through school, I was into aircraft models, which I then thought it was a local factory near myself, and I then pursued being an aircraft engineer. Did the apprenticeship, 23 years. I think I was in actually on a shop floor, with a little few diversions here and there, with redundancy and other things, and crane driving and crane operator and back to aircraft engines. And say after 23, 24 years, I then decided that actually it might be, well, it was a conscious decision to pursue the quality aspect within the aerospace industry. Pursue quality. I think I applied 5 times for the role. Each time rejected, each time going back for feedback. And this is one of the biggest things I didn't learn early on, because I applied for multiple roles within the business and never got the role. But the biggest thing I learned from that endeavor was the power of persistence. And if you apply for a job and you don't get it, reach back out to the people that interviewed you and ask them if they'd be willing to give you some critique or some feedback. Because the critique and feedback I had was invaluable in me moving forward. And I then educated myself on my own time. I actually booked leave to go and train up within the industry, within the office I was moving into. And then that left me, when the next time the role came up, then I was in a position then to talk more confidently about what happens in that aspect of the business. Which then that was the last year. That was January 1st, 2019, I think I started. And it was fantastic. It was the, of all my career, that was the happiest, my happiest year there. I was the most fulfilled. I was with people that were aspiring. They were like, they wanted more. There was less, what's the word? I don't know if you ever worked on a shop floor, Amir, and there's a certain banter that goes on the shop floor. And there's a certain level of mindset on the shop floor, not for everybody, but it's certainly there. And it's a lot of like Mickey taking, running people down and that type of thing. But I decided I'd have a crack at the office when I went over. The Mickey taking and bantering was still there, but the people I was working with seemed to be on a different level. And that was the most, the thing that took me back most was the difference in mindset from the shop floor to the office. And that was really impactful for me. And then I did multiple trainings, Six Sigma, CAPS, Bells, all sorts of different trainings to assess myself personally, so I can maybe become a better employee for them. That's my background. So I finished, I got made redundant last week. So severance has come up, so I took the opportunity to leave. And now I'm currently pursuing my own business endeavors as a consultant coach and coaching men. So that's where we currently are.
So I see. So you have like a background with working with people and training them and get them, let's say, where they wanna be.
So that's what I'm currently doing. And that's what I've been doing for the last year and a half with London Real. And also with my own clients as well. So that aspect of my life is more geared around my own personal coaching and my own journey and not so much my employment.
I see. Okay. So how is this like, how it's going for you? What do you see like with people when they want to reach what they, when they are trying to reach what they want, but like they're stopping for a reason? What is that? What's usually the reason for people to stop from doing what they want to do or want to reach?
Do you mean in the sense of they've set a goal and they can't achieve it? Or do you mean in the sense of they're trying to achieve it, but they just can't seem to break through?
Yes, they don't seem to break through. They don't seem to achieve it.
Yeah, for me, that would be self-imposed limitations. The biggest aspect I can pay forward to people is I had a massive mindset shift. Actually, when I did the London Real course and a mastermind with a guy called Larry Hagner, for a majority of my life up until my early 40s, I was in a full-on victim mindset. Everything happened to me. I'd often use phrases such as, why can't they just, it's not fair, you know, those, that sort of terminology. But when I was able to go through that course, it allowed me to shift perspective that actually, this is not happening to me, it's happening for me. And once I realized that, actually, if the universe is conspiring for me and working in my favor, and I see everything that way, then any obstacle or any perceived potential obstacle that comes up is surmountable. But I'm curious enough to get around it because I want what's on the other side. And I've also learned, especially this year, because it's been, as I just told you on the pre-talk, it's been particularly intense the last, since February, with all the different things we've had going on, is to keep pushing. Because I've had, if you read that book, it's The War of Art, Stephen Pressfield. Have you actually had a chance to read that one of me?
What's that? What's the book?
The book is called The War of Art. And the author's name is Stephen Pressfield. And he says, and Brian talks about this as well, about this creative force within us that for us to live fully embodied and fulfilled needs to come out. But the problem is in its root out, it's got to get past all the beliefs and limitations that's been set by society, our families, ourselves, our parents, our schooling. So there's all these different aspects. And as this energy and like force is trying to come through, it's hitting boundary after boundary after boundary. So, you know, this, and that's what he talks about. It's this about that persistence. It's about being willing to keep going, not to stop. And that the boundaries that you come up against are in. So if you've got a big one, if you've got a big boundary that you feel like you're struggling uphill, then once you get to the other side, the reward is equally as large, if not bigger. So small bumps give you small, you know, small elevations, but big ones give you bigger ones. So right now I'm just really excited for the future. Like I said, with everything that's just happened to me over the last February, March, April, June, 5 months, there's something on the other side of this, and I am so excited because all I've had to do is keep a positive mindset and just keep that saying that. And it's not just about a positive mindset, right? Because people get lost on that one. They say, oh, you know, just be positive. It's not just be positive, it's be positive with action. The action part being the key part of that. And I found that if I can just do that, just keep making the same, even if I, you know, they are the same moves, just repeating them, just consistency over and over and over. I know that sooner or later that's going to compound and then that's going to pay off.
I see. So actually this, what you said right now is something that is related to my next question, which is that entrepreneurship is something a lot of people might want to do and something that many people, they desire and they want to do. But actually, they just don't take off. They don't start, they don't do the work. And as you earlier said, that because most of the time it is maybe our own beliefs or the people around us who just like maybe limit our own ability, limit our own skills. And they say that we are not good enough. So we take that idea, we plant it inside our head and the brain, and we actually believe it, while it's totally not the truth.
Absolutely. Well said.
All right. So now, Joel, most of people, they go and they think about starting their own business. They want to fly on themselves and so on, or by themselves. But unfortunately, what they take as an example is they just take a look at, let's say, a movie like The Social Network and so on. They think that within just half an hour or 1 hour, my company is up and running. I'm making billions and I'm enjoying my life. Now, why this, all of it is false? Can you please tell us, like, maybe from your experience or the people you worked with and saw them doing entrepreneurship and what they gone through?
Yeah, certainly. Okay, so I can relate this to my own personal story. So back in 2008, the year of the financial crisis, my wife and I started a business called Aquarian Holistics. So I was, my wife and I were both Reiki practitioners. We had hypnotherapy, Indian hand massage, and other therapies as well that we were doing. And we were both like, yeah, we start our own business and, you know, we do this and we do that. And we did. We started our own business and we advertised here and there. And we were, I'd read somewhere that the most powerful form of marketing is word of mouth. And with our industry, which is obviously hands-on, that is true to a degree. But I just took it on as a belief that that's how it'd work without understanding all the different components. I mean, if it fell flat on his face, within 6 months, it was done. And that was the end of it. But the biggest learning from that was, really for my wife and I then, when we pursued this dream of like financial freedom, being our own boss, it was a wish. And there's a difference between a wish and a desire. People wish for different states of being. They wish for the lottery and different things. But a desire is something that you pursue through action. What that event taught me was I was completely unprepared. I knew absolutely nothing about business. I knew nothing about marketing. And there's so many different levels and so many different things that I've learned since then, not just within London Real, but just like off my own learning. And I think you're right. I think entrepreneurship is the visual representation we see on the films. It's compressed. It's a hour and a half, 2 hours. So it's gonna feel like it's instant, you know. And we see it on Instagram all that time, and that does my head in. The youngsters standing next to Maseratis and all these different cars. But it's for me, every single person that's successful, and you see in the media spotlight, you know, like your SpaceX people and the Virgin Media and all the other different people. There's at least 10 years that's gone into that. So we see success overnight. It's not success overnight. It's 10 years. I've been at my business for 2.5. I've been at my podcast for 2. So, you know, I know raving success right now, but I'm not giving up. Because have you ever heard the story about the 8-carat diamonds?
No.
No, about the man that decides that, I can't remember what it was. He set off in search of this diamond that had been found in a local area near where he lived. And he'd gone like searching everywhere, spent thousands and thousands of pounds digging down, trying to find these diamonds, like he was after these big diamonds. And he sold his land to get it. And then somebody who bought the land come along, and as he was about to shake his hand, kicked a stone, which somehow he picked up. And it turns out the land that he sold to pursue the dream was actually a diamond that he was. It's that type of gist. Well, you don't actually know like how far you've come in your journey because you've got no perspective on that. So if we give up, he could be giving up like just before the finish line. I mean, Christina used to say, I don't know if she ever said it to you, but she say, never give up on a bad day. If you're going to give up on a good day, because it's, you know, it's a different frame. If you can frame every day, and with that frame I give you earlier on, everything is always working out for me. That means anything that shows up is there for a reason. So learn from it, apply it. You know, don't just go into victim mode and think, oh, why is this happening to me? There's a message, there's a lesson there. So use it, you know?
Yes, I see. So like, let's say that when you go through this experience, for sure you're going to learn something. Now, regardless of the outcome, so like if you are going to be an entrepreneur, you're going to need to put into account that I'm going to fail or I'm going to succeed. And I have to deal with what results I will get. But I have to learn from it, because like in my next trial, I'll use this experience to go to the next level and succeed in the next time.
Absolutely. Yeah, I mean, I think it was Henry Ford that said, whether you think you can or whether you think you can't, you're right.
Yes,
you know, it's good for you just can't stop. I mean, there's another one as well called the sunken cost fallacy, where people hold on to something for so long because they think it's the one, but then they're never actually willing to let it go because they've invested so much time and effort. But sometimes you need to understand and do an analysis. Actually, is this, you know, and I suppose this is where it gets a bit tricky, because it's like, if I give up now, then I could be really close to the finish line. But then, you know, it could be just part of the journey. I look back on my career in analytics and I think there was no doubt that I was dead in the water. I could have maybe reinvigorated it if I'd have actually had the wherewithal or the understanding of what needed to be done, but I didn't. So for me, that's a learning. That's parked, done. I've learned from it, and I've learned a ton. Now I'm onto something else, and I'll learn from that, and then I'll move on, and then it'll be something else, you know?
Yes, you see, like, I think Kiyosaki always says, the author from The Rich Dad Poor Dad, like, you learn, usually you go to school, you do a mistake, they take out grade from you, they yell at you, and so on. But in real life, mistakes, what will take you to the next level? You're going to learn from them, you're going to try and fail until you will succeed. It's not like you go, you try, and you fail, and that's it. No, this is just the beginning of the journey. This is the start of your work. And that's for sure for anybody who wanna start his entrepreneurship, like, he gonna need to know that 10% of the startup businesses fail in the first 5 years. And about from the 10% left, also 90% fail in the next 10 to 15 years. So you have a 1% chance to succeed and to go into this world. So you're gonna need to have this into account. That will not make you chicken or make you go back or retreat. No, just remember that when you fail, it's not end of the road. It's actually maybe a wonderful beginning for something else.
Yeah. Completely agree with you. I think the way you just framed that then, like, about failing, my son gave me a good one. He's 15 now. It's got to be about 7 years ago. And he came home from school and he said, I'd mentioned failing. We've been reading a lot on mindset as he was growing up. And he said that failing wasn't actually failing as in a negative thing. It's a first attempt in learning, which blew my mind for his age. And I was like, that's brilliant. I'm going to use that. I'm going to tell people that one. But for me, I think what sets the tone for that as we go through life is the early phases of our life. I mean, you think of some of the most successful people you know, and they look at failure completely differently. Like the people that we see in the spotlights and, you know, people that we maybe want to emulate or aspire to, they didn't have conventional upbringings. They didn't. There was something, they weren't, for lack of a better word, they weren't going to like normal schools and having normal education. Some of them went through and quit because they didn't like the process. But there's a lot of them, and some of the greatest presidents ever were homeschooled. Mm. Do you know what I mean? It's like, and for me, this is something I feel really strongly about, is all the limitations I had put on me were from, with regards to earning and business, was during my schooling, because my parents couldn't have given it to me because they didn't know. Mm. Does that make sense? So I was never in a business industry family or around people with a certain type of mindset, because my family was not that way. So I've gone way outside. Like everyone in my family look at me a bit odd, because I've taken this, left my job to pursue something. So all of a sudden now they're like, what are you doing? I'm like, well, you know, I'm here once. Everybody in my family is in on this. Like my wife, my kids, everybody knows the repercussions of pursuing this path. But the fact is, men and women, men have got servants' hearts. For me, as I see myself as a servant to my family, to a degree. But for me to serve them properly, I need to be filled. Mm. If I'm not filled, then I can't show up fully for them, because there's something missing. And for me to be fully, fill my cup, it doesn't sound as selfish as it used to sound when I used to say it. I used to have difficulty making time for myself to go to the gym. It wasn't until I realized that going to the gym made me feel really good, and then consistently doing it, and doing it early in the morning so it didn't impact my family, I thought, well, actually, this is really good. And I'm coming home like in a different state of mind, which is therefore better for them and better for me. I don't know if you've got kids, Amir, but...
No.
So two points there. One is, I think we're structured from our schooling, which I think, and that's what I was going to say, was like with regards to the failing, that's where the fear of failure comes from, is examinations. Because there is no examination. There's no final examination in business. It might be moments where you've got to step up and follow through. But if you fail, you just learn from what you did and don't do it again. We don't, you know, examinations don't lead you that way. If you fail, you get an F. That's it. Unless you want to go back to school and learn again. Which, you know, I don't know. I don't think it's helpful when we structure learning that way for people. It didn't help me. It made me fear failure.
Yes. Although, if you go and listen to Jeff Bezos, the founder of Amazon, he says that he made billions of dollars of mistakes in Amazon's. Billions of dollars of failures and errors and many things that didn't work. And unless they did not go that path, they would not know that this is not the right path.
That's right. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I love it.
Okay, so now, Joel, let's say somebody starting his entrepreneurship journey and so on. Now, most of the time, or a lot of people, they just go and start, let's say maybe a software developer like me, they just start develop the app, the website, and so on. And they think that this is actual work that will get them to the desired goal. Unfortunately, they don't know that actually doing it, just the technical part and so on, is just a small part of the entire cycle that they need to go through so they can achieve that goal or reach that desired result. So they need for sure some help from the outside. They need some kind of mentorship. So in your opinion, why mentorship is actually needed for a startup?
Good question. Okay. Speaking from personal experience again, I've pursued multiple different avenues of business for my own startup. And it wasn't until I really realized I didn't know how, you can get so far, with a podcast, you can get so far. You can get it running. You can maybe get some traction. You can maybe get listeners. But there comes a point where you think, okay, I want to grow this, or I want to monetize this. And then the next step is, okay, so how do I do that? And you can do a bit of Googling, get a bit of free information, but how long is that going to take? What, you know, it, and this is the route I've done as well. You Google it, you look for free information, you sign up to newsletters, you get all the different bits and bobs. But for me, a coach or mentor is somebody that allows you to compress time, that you learn from their learnings. Otherwise, you're in for a long haul. There's only so much information you get that's free. You may be able to get it all free, but imagine how long it'd take for you to get all the different pieces. Versus, like, I've actually sought somebody out that is doing what I want to do and is currently where I perceive or think I'd like to be. So they've turned their podcast into a business, and that's in itself has led into coaching conversations and other opportunities as well, you know. So and being able to talk to that person, engage with that person and learn from them, I think is a key to anybody that wants to start a small business, is find somebody that's in your niche, find somebody that's doing that you look up to or you enjoy listening to their content. Maybe they're a few steps ahead of you, not too far, but maybe a few steps ahead. And then the learning will still be fresh. And then just start a conversation. You know, is there, it may be paid, it may be unpaid, it may be just be pleased to be able to help you and move forward. But you need to find that person that's in your industry or in your niche and is just a few steps ahead of you so they can help you pass that bit. That doesn't mean that's going to be forever. I mean, I have clients that they come in and they'll stay for so long. You get them to a certain point and actually you can't help them anymore. Do you know what I mean? I see the purpose of a coach and a mentor is not only to compress time, but it's also to help people shift their perspective. Like sometimes you can have obstacles that come up that you just so frustrated and you don't know how to deal with. But sometimes a slight tweak on the your perspective or a new way of looking at it, or maybe they point out the blind spot that you're not considering. Mm-hmm. You don't know what you don't know.
That's right.
But we often go into these things thinking that we know everything. And it's not until it's right in our face and we're completely stuck and frustrated and maybe a little bit angry that we think, actually, maybe I don't know everything. And then that's why I love emotions. Emotions are fantastic things. We're taught that there's good and bad ones. There's not. They're just all emotions. And all these different emotions are there for a reason. They're signposts. They get us. There's a reason you get frustrated and then angry. It's because it's driving you to change. If what you're doing is not working and gets you more frustrated and more angry, sooner or later, you're going to have the thought, oh, what else can I do? What can I do differently? But you need to go through that first.
Somebody else looking at what you're doing will tell you maybe you are going this, although this is not working. Although maybe you want to look at this always like, what I see as business, or even like while you are working in a company with a team and so on, usually the combined effort of different people together always have a higher result, regardless of their, like, let's say their technical skill, their years of experience and so on. They usually like get you a much better result than like working on your own or just working with one else. Usually a team, a combined effort of different people will have way higher results than just a single person doing this.
And absolutely.
Yeah. And yeah, having definitely. A mentor, somebody next to you who tell you right there, maybe you need to look at it right there. You need to go out more, will be much helpful and beneficial. And like somebody maybe with you as well in the journey, can get you much better results than just going and do that work. And at the end of the day, you are not actually achieving anything. You're just wasting your effort and time.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, there's a good book I've been reading last couple of days. It's called 21 Irrefutable Laws of Leadership. And he goes into there, like, and it's one of my affirmations too. My team is forming around me. I only know so much. And we're all different. We've all got our strengths. We've all got our weaknesses. Now, I can either spend a lot of time building up my weaknesses at a strength, or I can double down on my strengths and allow people to come into my life and into my circle and you know, help them. And in return, they help me. you know, because we've all got different. You've seen that yourself within the accelerator course. I mean, there was so many, like your team was amazing that you were in. There was so many different skill sets within it. It was almost perfect.
Yes. The combined effort, usually different people. This knows more about this. This knows more about this. Actually, will get you a way much better result than just someone trying to do all these different rules together.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right. So we already talked, or you already mentioned about how to say a mentor, or how to have a mentor. Maybe you look for somebody in the industry, or somebody who's already there, where you wanna reach and go. Like, do you have any other tips, maybe for a person who looking, maybe let's say somebody who's writing a book, where he can start looking for a mentor? Where is the first place?
So, if an aspiring author.
Yeah, a new author, somebody who's just starting and he want to publish. Where does he start? How he can look for a mentor?
For starters, I'd be reading books on it. And then I'd be on Facebook and I'd be looking for groups. I'd certainly be looking for reaching out to my network, like maybe even put a post out on Facebook and see if there's anybody within your immediate circle that knows somebody that's a writer and is maybe able to shed some light. The thing is, within our circle, there's so many tenuous links to other people. It's like a spider's web. And we don't actually know. We tend to default think that, they won't know nothing about that. Or she won't know so-and-so. But you don't know. Like I said just now, you don't know what you don't know. So, you know, reach out. I'd be reaching out to people. Certainly within my immediate circle, lowest hanging fruit, my LinkedIn profile, my Facebook, my Insta. Maybe my phone, just going through my phone and just messaging a few people on my phone. I would almost guarantee that somebody within that circle can come up with somebody that can refer you to somebody that does that. Because the next step for that, once you get to somebody referred to you, is I would need the trust element. Like if somebody referred somebody to me, there would need to be that trust. I would need to be able to trust that investing in them is worth my while, you know? And then that's where you follow up on Facebook, you join the social groups, you see their interaction, you see the engagement. Maybe you read a couple of their books, follow their blogs. Maybe you try and get on the phone with them, you know?
Yes. So like validate that is somebody that he will actually help you. We have the knowledge that you need and so on. These criteria.
Absolutely.
Okay. So now, this next question, Joel, do you think that some people are just using the mentorship so they just don't hold themselves accountable or not? So like, do they really need a mentor next to you, or you just need to actually get your work done, get it done and so on? So what do you think?
I think people know when they're not holding themselves accountable, and until they don't actually realize that enough, they're being unproductive in the focus of their work. Like you just said, maybe they're doing work that is completely unproductive. They're not going to know that unless somebody can point that out. With regards to following through on the tasks, you can set yourself. I mean, I've laid mine out in 12 weeks. And each week is a task that I've got to follow through to completion. Because we tend to overestimate what we can do in the short term, but underestimate what we can do in the long term. So I figured if I can start crossing these things off week by week, then I'm going to be in a very good position. But the thing is, to understand whether you're acting on the right points, I think you need a different perspective to make you more effective. That being said, if you don't have a mentor or coach or somebody that you can turn to, I mean, and you're willing to research and put the time in, you can only ever go off what you know or what is laid out or what you want to believe, and then lay that out and then hold yourself accountable to it in terms of what I think a lot of people, when they go into these new endeavors, they don't actually look into what happens if they don't act. Mm-hmm. I don't think people walk down the road of thinking, okay, if I don't do this and I don't do that, I got to go back to my job. Until it's too late. They don't work on a day-to-day basis. Like, I'm already thinking now, I got about 8 months to get things rolling for my business. And all I got in my head is, I know what I do want. I want a successful business of my own. But there's also on the other side of that is, I'm not going back to a job. Mm. I want a job. I want a business.
Mm.
You know? And I don't think on a day-to-day basis, if people are not acting, it's either because they're not feeling the pain enough or it's a wish.
I wish not something that a desire, they work on it 24/7, they focused on it, and they want to actually get it done.
Yeah.
All right. So now, how I can actually work with a mentor so I can like get the max benefit from him, and also like give him a clear representation of my current situation so they can like actually understand what I'm going through, and how can I get all the benefits that I need from actually getting a mentor?
Okay, I would say, like you just said, laying it down, giving current context of exactly what's going on in your life. Then maybe giving him an understanding of exactly what you do want. And then what's missing in the middle is complete honesty, conducting yourself with integrity for your own future. Because we sometimes we can tell ourselves lies. To keep ourselves safe. We may be all in on a business, but we may have hang-ups or hold-ups that we don't want to admit to ourselves. And the greatest transformations happen when people are willing to be 100% real with themselves and drop all the ego, just leave all the ego at the door and go in with open eyes, an open mind, and a willingness to learn and the key part of all this is you can have a mentor who's absolutely brilliant, but if he can't do the work for you, so you have to do the work, you know? And I think that's where a lot of people fail. Like, I've had clients in the past that actually you can help them, you can engage them, you can motivate them, but you can't do the work for them. And that is sad, but it's frustrating. As a coach, it's frustrating, but it's also sad to see somebody that's not following through themselves, you know.
Yeah. So more maybe as we said earlier, maybe some people just don't want to hold themselves accountable. They want to just blame somebody else, is the weather, the other people, not me, which is something that is very,
very common.
You need to be an honest and as open as possible. Because that's what will get you through life. For like example, I remember maybe 7 years ago when there was some like entrepreneurship workshop, and actually the leader of the workshop told me something still resonate with me 7 years ago until now, and that he start a business and he start the work. Okay, he tells the good news in the email. But what about the bad news? He writes them down there. And here is the bad news. 1, 2, 3, 4. And that's something that I tried like to do always. Like, okay, here is the good thing. Here's what I did. And you know what? Here is the bad news. And that's what actually will get you the trust of other people. And it will actually tell you where you are weak. You will show your weakness, and other people will help you with these like points that you are struggling with and have issues with.
Yeah, I mean, one of the good ways to phrase it is one of the courses I learned was they call it continues and considers, and it's a brilliant way of giving critical feedback to people without knocking their self-confidence or their self-worth. So, you know, you consider, was it continuous? So giving the good news first, yeah, you was really engaging. You've been a great host, good listener, good rapport. Consider, I don't know, whatever that may be, you know?
Yes.
It's just a helpful way of giving critical feedback.
Yes, yes. Giving what they need without actually hurting them.
Yeah.
All right. So now, let's say somebody like had a mentor right now and he's like doing his business and so on. Like, do you think that the mentor can actually go much deeper than just working with the, let's say, the founder himself and start work with actually the entire company or mentor the entire company? A startup usually like 3-4 people. So it's not too many people to, let's say, handle and talk with. So what do you think?
So in the sense of what, if he goes and has a mentor, he can then immediately start a business or to work for the mentor within his business?
Oh, no, like the mentor, can the mentor actually come inside the company and work with the entire company itself and mentor the entire company, not just the individual or just the individual?
If you're talking CEO level, I'd say culture is built at the higher levels. Mm-hmm. It's in play on the lower levels. The culture on the shop floor is ultimately defined by what they see above. So if for me, it would have to filter down. But if I had my business, my own business, and employees, I would be looking for leaders with integrity, leaders with honesty, openness, trustworthiness. I'd make it all transparent. And then everybody in each block would have to have those abilities or those skills so that they're not hiding behind metrics or letting metrics impact their performance. Because that's the biggest thing I've seen, and different things I've worked in is the metrics drives the wrong behaviors. So you need to have the right metrics to drive the right behaviors. I was reading one of the books I was telling you about just now. He was saying in there that Costco, the guy who created Costco, pays his employees 45% more than the industry's standard, and they have one of the best medical plans. Mm-hmm. And he still provides a profit for his shareholders. Mm-hmm. He's got good economies of scale. Is everything is like lean, but the shareholders want him to squeeze the workers more, but he refuses because he knows good workers, and you pay people well, and they will work well for you. So I think that is really important.
Mm-hmm. I see. So the top will actually start with the top and let it go throughout the company. Okay. So now, let's say somebody just had his mentor and so on. Like, but for how long he will need to have a mentor? Like, when he can fly on his own, when he can do it by himself?
I think from what I've seen is when he thinks he's ready, when he believes that he's able. And I don't think that the relationship would end, to be honest with you. We talk of mentorship and coaching, and it seems to be like an industry standard. Like, you can either have like one-off sessions or, you know, weekly, monthly, or three-monthly. But for me, I think coaching and mentorship is something that should continue throughout your professional career. I myself have multiple coaches for different things because I don't know my own blind spots. People don't. And people, like you said, a mentor, they often need that shift in perspective. That's only going to come from the person that's above their level or mm-hmm. somebody that's more worldly or being able to experience more or whatever. But I don't think there's ever a point where you say, like, I've learned enough now, I'm on my way, because there's always more to learn. And I think there's always that need for that different shift in perspective.
I see. So now, you mentioned that you can have maybe, let's say, different coaches or different mentors for the different parts of, let's say, your life and so on. First thing, can I have like maybe a mentor for my business life and one for my family life if I'm doing some entrepreneurship? Because like for sure, I'll be working 20 hours a day, and having a family with 20 hours a day is just too much to handle, too much to deal with. So can having actually different mentors for the different areas of your life make it easier for you or not?
100%. Absolutely. Yeah, definitely. That's exactly what I got. I've got my coach helps me with the life issues and things that come up. And then I've got a manifestation and financial coach. Mm-hmm. And then I've also got like my podcasting coach. And I've also got people that are parents who podcast together, who are both business owners and entrepreneurs, and they're trying to navigate all those different aspects, and it's all in a podcast. So, do you know what I'm saying? Is all those different and all basically all those different aspects of me. The only one that I haven't got at the moment is a fitness coach, mm-hmm. because I'm just doing what I need to do, however I can. But yeah, absolutely, it compresses everything. Like it compresses the time, and actually, most valuable resource. People measure things on value on money. It's not. Time is the most important aspect. If you had more money, you'd do more with those you love, mm-hmm. and that comes down to time, not money. You know, time is a magnifier. Money is a magnifier. It's nothing else. It magnifies your current behaviors. So utilize the time you've got to be with those you love the most, to have the best lives you can possibly have.
I see. So like for sure, yes, money is infinite, but time is not. Time, you can't make time. You can't go back time. You can't go to the future. So if you want to focus on something, let's focus on getting more time rather more than money, because more time for sure will allow you to reach more money and so on.
Yeah, definitely. I think so.
All right. So, Joel, do you currently do some mentorship for other people or can help other people? And if so, what type of mentorship that you do for other people?
So I generally help men who are in their midlife, and I'm paying back what my experience I went through. So I'm a coach, and I don't actually have any mentees at the moment. I did in work, but I don't outside. And I'm looking to help men that feel maybe lost, unfulfilled, maybe a bit trapped by their job. Maybe they're going to a job they hate, but they've got to go to the job they hate to pay for the mortgage, keep a roof over their children's heads, pay for the food, you know, and everything else. But like I go to early on, there is a way out of that. I found it. And I found it while I was in a job. I've made it a conscious decision to leave. But the path is there. Just a lot of people don't often step back to have a look where it is. Does that make sense?
Yes, it does. So you can like help them, let's say, more into their life and maybe their business life, and give them maybe that second perspective that I think everybody needs. Everybody needs to have somebody. Maybe you don't need to do what the other says, but at least getting an idea.
Yeah.
Other second thought and so on can really, really change things for me. For example, like me myself, when I had many products ideas, none of them take off, none of them succeed, because what I used to do, I used to just go, start coding, and launch the product. And that's actually just a small part of a series of steps that you need to do to actually have a successful product launch, to actually have a successful work. And that's a lot of people actually miss, and don't they think that I create maybe the best car in the world. Okay, you created the best car in the world, but nobody wanna buy it. Nobody, yeah. Most of people, or most of entrepreneur, they hit the wall. First thing first was doing sales and how to get other people to buy my product, get the new clients and so on. Because they just focus at the technical part. They do wanna do a good work, and you wanna do a good work. But that's just a small step in the series of the other steps that you need to take.
Absolutely. There's a ton of other parts that's needed for that business to succeed. And a lot of those are soft skills. Being able to know that when you're pitching your product, you believe in your product, you perceive the value in the product and the value for your customer. However, you need your customer's feedback, or you need feedback from somebody to understand actually what is the value from the customer's point of view, which is what's going to help you with your sales moving forward. That makes sense.
Yes, does make sense. It does. All right. So we're going to have Joel socials and links in the description in case anybody would like to contact him or have any, relationship with him, follow him, get some thoughts from him and so on. So Joel, do you have any last thoughts that you want to share with us? Maybe some advice for the upcoming people who want to be entrepreneurs and so on.
For me, the foundational part of being an entrepreneur, which I didn't realize the first time around, was trying to get my outgoings as small as I could. So I'm then primed. If I can reduce my outgoings to a point where I'm then primed, if I need to make a move, or if opportunity shows itself, I can then make the move, knowing that actually this is how much I need to live on. And then pursue that path all in. So for me, it was money-based. It was understanding exactly where things were, so that when that opportunity, like this, like COVID, who could have seen COVID coming? I had a year when I went over from shop floor to office, I had a big reduction in salary. That big reduction in salary put the spotlight right on where my money was going. So I had for a year time to like reduce it, hone it. Okay, do I need this? No. Do I need that? Yes. Okay. And over that year, we filtered everything down to its core, which then when this opportunity came around, I was like, actually, I'm all in. Because I'm primed, I'm ready to go. And a lot of people don't do that. We tend to settle. We settle in life, and then we end up with an average life. And then we wonder why we're unfulfilled and miserable and drinking and eating and overweight and everything else that goes with it, while we try and suppress all those emotions that we feel because we don't want to feel them. Because if we were to look at ourselves and realize, actually, I am drinking and eating, it's a way of distraction. We would be aware it's our fault. We're that way because we didn't do something, because we settled. But it is a way. It's just people got to ask the right questions and want the change. If you don't want to change, then you've had it. So crack on, and that's good. If you don't want change and you're happy with your life, that's fine. But I don't just want a mediocre life. I want an amazing life. And that's what I'm going for.
Maybe because they listen to their parents, go to school, get a job, and have children, and that's it. I mean, I believe we can do way more than just doing these simple steps. That, like me myself, when I graduated 7 years ago from the university, I believe that, you know what, I can do more than just applying for companies, do software development and so on. So I did take like an entrepreneurship workshop and so on, but like it did not work very well for me. So like I thought it did not, like I closed my brain and said that, you know what, it will not work for me. But later on, I found out that it's not correct. So I would like to thank my host, Joel, for coming with us in this episode. You will find his socials in the description. Thanks, everybody, for listening, and see you in the next episode.
Thank you very much, Amir.